The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's a glorious day in the neighborhood. Nothing going on.
Quiet. Boring. No stories to talk about. So we're just here to entertain you for the next 3 hours. We're looking at a lot of Texans talk. We're going to talk football-centric, get into training camp before they head to West Virginia, break down the offensive line, and, of course, the possible quarterback controversy. Then we'll get into some Astros baseball. And if there's anything on your mind, you can give us a call. How about that?
Yeah. What's going on?
What's up? Barry's here. Nick's here. The whole crew's here. We're ready to go.
How about them Stros? We're not talking Rockets today, are we?
Who? The who? Rockets? Basketball's in the rearview mirror, bro. We already had the award ceremony. Once the award ceremony is past us, we don't talk hoops till like October. There's nothing worth talking about. I saw Nuno up here. I was like, oh my God, he's here to do a story on basketball. No, he was interviewing Glenn Davis.
You'll be hard-pressed to find a nicer guy in this business than David Nuno. I challenge you.
I thought you were going to say Glenn Davis.
To find someone. Same thing. Glenn Davis, too. But David Nuno, you'll be hard-pressed to find a nicer guy.
I think all the hosts that I produce for are a-holes, so I'm not going to say that.
Wow.
Present company excluded,
of
course.
Good to see you too, Nick.
Right?
Glad to be here.
I mean, excluding us.
I love David Nuno. He is a good dude.
Yeah. Did he say hi to you or did he just...
Absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah.
No. Maybe his judgment is questionable. Perhaps. I don't know. I know we have to talk trade and we will. And we will, but I just wanted to give you guys a toilet update. It's still not installed.
I love it.
Nick's shower curtain is safe for now.
Yeah. Let me just tell you how much it pains my heart to have to come in here and tell you that. I got it mounted, but I don't. My plumber that I talked to on the phone told me, because it's not level. All right. It's completely off level. There's about a half inch gap in the back, and then it rests on the floor in the front. I told you that the flange is too high off the ground. So it sits at an angle, basically. So I've got to raise it up and level it. And my plumber, when I talked to him the other day, he told me to use pennies. And I just feel like that one day when I go in there to sit down,
things
and
gonna slip or something.
Yeah,
right?
The pennies are gonna give way. So I got it all, you know, put back. But I need to. I'm going to get some toilet shims today to shim it the right way so that it doesn't slip. And then I realized that the water in the bowl serves a purpose. Because I woke up this morning, I just mounted it. No water. I didn't turn it on or anything. And it stunk so bad in my bathroom. And apparently, if you don't shove a towel in the hole or have water in there, the sewage just comes back up through there. And, oh, my God. So
it smells like a sewer till now, or is the smell essentially?
I shoved a towel in there. It's gone now. I shoved a towel in there. But, yeah, so that's... That's where I'm at. So,
well, it smells like a sewer, but it looks like a soup bowl. All you need is a big soup spoon.
Oh, I forgot to take a picture for you guys.
It's like a meal.
I forgot to take a picture for you guys so you could see the.
I'm not mad at you.
The bucket.
I was gonna bring in just some brown water, like just put like coffee water and stuff, but put just sit it here and then like mid show, just take a drink of it for you.
It probably wouldn't have affected me. I mean, it maybe have. I don't know. You never can tell. It's a possibility. So that's my update. That's where I'm at. I know now we got to get down to business.
It's a way back Wednesday, and I'm the only one who remembered, by the way.
Excuse me?
Are you kidding me? I kept saying, what are we doing? I even put on my rundown today. What are we doing?
Who sent you a list?
10 minutes before we went on the air, you sent me what we're doing, and now I'm trying to scramble to put together a freaking list.
The first my hour. List is in already. Oh, you can go off my list.
That's shocking to me.
My list is in. I can't help it. I'm a musical savant. What do you want from me?
I knew he was going to say that, because he literally found out that pretty much the same time you found out. And he's like, I'll make a list right now. Take
and I seconds. Did. Mm. And I if you'll check the timestamp, it took about 2 seconds. So, yeah. It's what's the category, Nick? Tell the peoples.
TV theme songs.
Boom. So, this is easy, Joel. You should have been able to knock this out in no time.
I haven't had anything else to
think
about.
He was asking
about,
if it was year specific, and I said, nah. I said, we just do it, right? Any TV.
I like that Joel said, I haven't had anything else to think about. Like, the rest of us are just like, what's going on? I see how it is.
I'm just saying, my freaking Twitter messages were blowing up, and everybody wants an answer. I'm like, look, people, I got to go drive. I got to go to work now.
Like I said, it took two.
Plus, I'm pounding the pavement, Barry. I'm pounding my sources. I'm trying to get inside information to give the people what they're clamoring for.
If you had sources, we would have heard about this already.
Your sources heard about this the other day.
I feel like
I said on this show, the top two targets were Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony. They got the Chris Paul thing done. Now they're after Melo.
Okay. I hope you're wrong on Melo.
I hope I think
Melo's more of a because Winhurst also tweeted out that Paul George is still a possibility. I think Melo is the actual
Here's the thing.
Possibility.
Okay, so we'll just recap because everybody and their mother knows it by now. But one thing you might not know is the Rockets traded for Chris Paul. Montrezl Harrell now is included in that deal. So that was a detail that was left out early on. So the Rockets are clamoring for big men. Nene's a free agent. Now Montrezl Harrell's gone. But they bring one of the premier point guards in the NBA to the Rockets. They lose in the deal Lou Williams, along with Patrick Beverley, the centerpiece of the deal, Sam Decker, and a number one next year. Now the rumors are that they're not done. I firmly believe that a thorn in their side is the fact that Phil Jackson and the Knicks parted ways this morning, because if not, they were going to buy him out, and there was a legit possibility he would have just turned around and signed with the Rockets. Now, the Knicks may want to trade, and you're running out of assets, and you don't know if he's going to be able to break free. Now, they have been supposedly active on the Pacers front trying to get Paul George, but you don't think Boston's going to up the ante like six times over going, we can't be left holding the bag in this deal. This is the guy we want, too. So now all those trade talks with Indiana will intensify for several teams. They've made other moves. Simply, if you're looking at DeAndre Liggins and thinking he's an asset, no. All that did was open up a mid-level exception for them for this season. So they're going to be able to sign a veteran free agent to the mid-level or split it. But basically just, spinning the wheels, trying to make something happen, and it's starting to happen for the Rockets, so more power to them.
Yeah, Woj said Tim Quarterman has been traded to the Rockets for cash.
Yeah.
So I think they're just trying to get, according to Woj, so the Rockets are gathering non-guaranteed contracts to use in the Clippers trades or elsewhere.
Yep.
I guess the first question is, boys, what are your thoughts on the trade? Right?
So here's the thing. Nick, go ahead. You can go first. Then
I'm okay with it. I mean,
wanted him all along.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with it. I like it. I think... The full disclosure, though, the one thing I didn't know about Chris Paul, I didn't know he was 32. I honestly thought he was like 29 or 30. I didn't realize how long he's been in the league. But with that said, when you look, a lot of people, if they didn't make a move, you know, fans would have been clamoring. They would have been hating on the Rockets. And if you look at what's available, what else are you going to do? To me, it's George. It's Chris Paul. It's guys like that. I don't want Melo, but Melo, those are the type of stars that you're going to have to add to the team. Now, I felt like they gave up too much. I felt like they could have been a little more savvy. But if you really look at the lineup, Beverly, Decker, and who was the third guy?
Lou Williams.
Outside of Harrell.
Lou Williams.
And you are we sure? You have where are you hearing Montrezl Harrell? Because I know Trey said that, but let me just tell you, I don't trust what Trey says.
No, I just retweeted it.
Someone else said it. Okay. Yeah. Let's make sure whatever sources we have or we're using.
Brad, but outside of Harrell,
Brad Turner verified said Clippers will also get center Montrezl Harrell as part of the Chris Paul deal per sources.
So the deal is the Rockets get CP3, mm-hmm. they give up Bev, Lou Williams, Sam Decker. And
number
Montrezl
one next
Harrell,
year.
And number
Montrezl
one.
Harrell. Yeah.
Okay. So
they didn't give up too much offense. They gave Beverly, Decker, they weren't really known for
their
offense.
They had 2 6 men. They didn't need, need Lou Williams and Eric Gordon. I do agree with that. Sam Decker is just a role player. What they did basically is they gave up role players for an all-star. But they essentially, the Rockets went out and gave up, what I thought at the time, 3 but 4 role players to go out and get an all-star, to go out and get a bona fide star. And I'm fine with that. The problem, as I see it for this trade, is not whether Harden and Chris Paul get along. I think that it's going to be up to Harden whether this works or not. I'll be honest with you. If Harden, like I said, I think in the offseason, he's much more resigned to, let's do something to make it work. But when his numbers go down and the limelight starts to dim a little and he's not the main focus and he's not an MVP candidate anymore because his numbers are down, I think that's when you might see he has a problem with it. He had to sign off on this, obviously. But that's what's going to determine if this is a good trade or not, is if James Harden plays nice with Chris Paul and whoever else they go and get. That said, what worries me more than anything is, what do they have left now? If they've got to do it, if they're going to do a trade for Paul George or they're going to do a trade for Carmelo Anthony, they have no real assets left. I don't see how anyone would want Ryan Anderson. Why would you absorb that contract for the next 3 or 4 years?
I think the trade was indicative of that. The fact that he wasn't included tells you everything. That
no one's going to trade for Ryan Anderson. So I have no idea what they're going to do. Maybe that's why they're out here acquiring players.
No.
That with expiring contracts?
Well, that's just to free up as much money as possible. But, I mean, here's the deal. My take on the whole deal is you can't have this be a one-year rental, okay? Chris Paul's got 1 year left on the deal. He opted in so that they could make the trade. That's just for one remaining year. If you give up this much and you lose Chris Paul at the end of the year, which he very well could go back to L.A. and try and get LeBron to go to L.A. and he could start his own lobbying to go somewhere else, then you paid too much. If you can get him and keep him, yes, Barry, you're absolutely right. This is all on James Harden's shoulders now to make it work, because there is not enough ball to go around if James insists on being the ball dominant player that he has been in the past. So he's going to have to share the rock. From a perspective that makes more sense from the Rockets, you're not going to see a collapse in a game 6 in a series against San Antonio because James is the leader and the go-to guy and he decides to defer. Chris Paul wants to grab the bull by the horns. He's going to take the ball and he's going to make something happen with it. So now James has help. Sometimes James can even hide a little bit because Chris Paul can lead. But there is going to be a feeling out process. They're going to have to work this out. And they better by no means be done, because this is not enough to get you to compete with Golden State. But as I said all along, their hope was Carmelo would be bought out. Carmelo and Chris Paul are tight. This would be something that could get them a third superstar. Regardless, they're trying to get Paul George too. It'll be interesting to see what happens. If nothing else, they're trying. And that's all you can ask for, is they're trying to get
exactly
to the level.
You can't be mad
Warriors.
If you're a fan right now. You look at what's available. They made the move that they had to make. You can't blame them for getting Chris Paul. And if the Paul George deal or even the Melo deal happens, and I know a lot of people are not really high on Melo, you can't blame them. That's what's available right now. You have to roll with the landscape of the market. Like, there's
I don't
nothing
know.
You
there's,
can do.
There are other options as far as stars go.
Which ones?
Paul George, Melo. I mean, we're talking about those guys. But when you give up all the pieces
to your point, right?
How are they going to go out and make
Ryan
a run
Anderson
for these guys?
And I've been saying this for a while too. There's not a team on the planet that should want to give $20 million a year and assets to get him for Ryan Anderson. Now, Eric Gordon's from Indianapolis. Eric Gordon is what the Rockets are pushing that the Pacers need to take in return, because the hometown kid comes home and it buys them some time. Eric Gordon's not going to replace Paul George. But Eric Gordon's making $15 million a year, so it gets you close to a deal where they get something in return. But again, do they want a 2019 first-round pick? Because now you're talking about down-the-road picks, because you don't have anything left. So it's going to that again, is that going to be more enticing than what Boston can offer? than what Cleveland can offer.
Well, I think what you're seeing, though, is with the, some of these side deals, is he is making moves to be able to take some expiring contracts and ship to other teams. That might be the saving grace. Because, again, other than, like you said, Gordon, I don't think they have any tradable pieces that people would want. Capella, maybe. But then what are you going to do? You don't have Montrezl Harrell. You don't have Clint Capella.
And you don't have Nene because he's a free agent. Yeah. You got to re-sign him. But Capella's a guy that teams are going to want. And I've heard people on Twitter, including, you know, Kurt Lowe, say, well, no one wants – Indiana doesn't want Capella because they have Miles Turner. Let me just tell you something. Everybody would take Clint Capella right now. That is and maybe their most attractive asset right now. So we'll talk about it. We've got the trade on the forefront. Everybody wants to talk about that and the other moves the Rockets are making. Ben, we see you. We'll get to you. But we are here till 4. So 713-780-ESPN. If you want to hit the HR&P listener line to call, to text, or to hit us up on Twitter, it's at Barry is Funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, there goes one of mine. But I want to give proper due to a great theme song for Barry's first one, though. Sanford and Son was fantastic.
Written by Quincy Jones, I do believe.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Something was written by someone other than John Tesh.
Does he write a lot of theme
John
songs?
John Tesh actually wrote the NBA on NBC. He also wrote the theme to, I believe, Entertainment Tonight and several other shows.
Wow.
John Tesh. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Not many people even remember John Tesh, I'm afraid. So that was a good one, Knight Rider. So yeah, I mean, so here we are. We're sitting at Chris Paul, James Harden, and Daryl trying to build assets. You know, look, some people are trying to anoint Daryl Morey as the king again and put him up on a pedestal. The big thing is he got someone. He made the effort. He got someone that was going to be sought after. He got someone, and he got them to take what he had, as opposed to trying to get someone else to take it just so you have the money that you can throw at Chris Paul. I give some fans credit. They were tweeting the other day that Chris Paul's wife was in the Woodlands looking at houses, and you always hear that and go, yeah, right. Now maybe, just maybe, although I was talking to McHale on the way in here because Coach McHale should join us in the next 10 minutes, and he goes, yeah, well, I'll tell you this right now. I lived in the Woodlands for a short time. If he's thinking that's the right choice, someone better give him better advice. He goes, that commute's going to suck.
Yeah.
That drive. I do it every terrible day. I do it every day. Trust me,
but
I know.
But the farm is on the backside.
Maybe, right? Maybe he and I can carpool. That'd be great, right?
Especially isn't with the farm on the backside. That gas-guzzling truck of yours.
Huh?
That gas-guzzling truck of yours.
Oh, God. Don't get me started. I'm looking at trading it in. I was thinking about getting a car, and everybody talked me out of it.
Isn't the farm on the backside of the Woodlands?
No, it's right there. Rayford Sawdust is my exit.
Do you have like a CB, like one of those CB walkie-talkies?
I have a ham radio.
When you're on that side of town, there's no cell phone reception, so you use the...
Yeah, there's no cable, so I have to go satellite dish. The big ones. I have the really, really big one. It's almost as big as my trailer, so...
See, okay, so Chris Davis on Twitter says, let's just say they don't get Paul George or Carmelo. I would take Millsap or Gallo or Chandler in a heartbeat. So would everybody else. But to Barry's point, you're running out of assets. In order to have the money to go get a guy like that, unless they're really willing to take rock bottom, which they're not, that's why Paul George opted out, you're going to have to unload and find a taker for Ryan Anderson and or Eric Gordon. And the other thing that you got to keep in mind, which I told people this morning, is, oh, you're losing depth. You're losing your rotation. Golden State isn't worried about their rotation. They built the best starting lineup in basketball. If you're the Rockets, build your starting lineup first and get all your stars in to line up. And I'm telling you, in one of the trades that means nothing to anybody right now, they freed up the mid-level exception. Veterans are, in short, the easiest way I can put this is David West II is coming. There are going to be veterans like David West that latch their wagon to the horses that the Rockets have and say, this is a shot for me to win a title.
Yeah, I think it would be foolish to think that Daryl Morey's not looking past the first five. I mean, if he's putting together a roster and a plan, I don't think he's just being so nearsighted that he's not that it's just those five, and damn the rest of the roster. It doesn't matter who we run out there. I think he's taking that into account. I mean, think about it. I hate to say this; it's such an overused phrase, but he's playing chess. He's doing several moves ahead. You know what I mean? So I think he's got plans to fill in that roster. Is it going to be as good, the depth? No, it's not. You can't. You can't go out and flip the salary cap on its head for this team and try to add all-stars to a team that has guys like Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon under contract and expect that you're not going to have a drop-off in depth. It's just not reasonable. So, yeah, their bench and their depth is going to be weaker. But I would much rather, like I said, if you look at this trade, they won this trade, even though it's 4-1. Mm-hmm. The reason is they gave up four role players for a bona fide all-star. You can question whether he can play more than 61 games in a season or whatever. Pat Bev played 67, so I don't see why that would be an issue. Last year, it was 67-61. That's not a bad. No. I'd almost give up the five games to have Chris Paul on this roster as opposed to Pat Beverly. A lot of people are saying they're worried about the loss of defense, that Pat Bev's defense.
It's not a huge drop off.
No,
for Chris Paul
leads the league in steals.
He's a hell of a defender.
Some people make the argument that he's better, so it just kind of depends on what you think.
If you look statistically, he is better. Go look at the nerdy stats for defense that really get down to the nitty gritty. He's better statistically than Pat Beverly on the defensive end. I think that the thing that I'm most looking forward to, and I talked about this earlier, but I think the thing that really resonates with me about this is I can't wait to watch all the Rockets fans slowly start to hate Pat Beverly now that he plays for the enemy.
Yep.
All these people that love Pat Bev and he was their hero and the heart and soul, now he's going to be an a-hole because he plays against them. So I'm really looking forward to that.
He'll be like the new Draymond Green.
I think the biggest thing is the leadership in the locker room. This team was constantly struggling to find a leader, and Trevor wasn't going to be that guy on a night-in, night-out basis, and he's on the downside of his career. Jason Terry, for the same reasons, in the locker room and in the film room was great, but he didn't play enough to really be that guy, to be that shouldering the load. Here's the big thing. Chris Paul, from everybody I've talked to, is real overbearing as a leader, kind of Kobe-esque. And he rubbed Blake Griffin the wrong way. And he rubbed a lot of players in L.A. the wrong way because he's not afraid to go at you at all times. If he starts going at James, this perfect backcourt could be a perfect storm. You got to be careful because you got a guy now that's going to be a dominant personality. I'm not sure how James is going to take that because this is James's franchise and you're bringing in another franchise player who's a lot more vocal. So it's going to be interesting to see. Before the break, we want to get in here with Ben. Ben, you've been waiting patiently. Ben, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing today?
What up, Ben?
I guess I had three quick things, I guess, but one kind of touched on each little part of it. I guess the first part was, I guess, pretty much what y'all were just saying, that if you get the starting five together, then the role players come. So that part you already kind of touched on. And then I guess talent-wise, obviously it's an upgrade. Fit-wise, everybody's having a little question and understandably so, they both have the ball all the time. But I guess the main difference between this signing and then whenever we signed Dwight was kind of the best option at that time. Like, he was the one that everybody was going after. With all the quotes that I've heard from James Harden today, I mean, he said something that we were determined to play together or something along those lines, where if they really wanted to play together that much, then I assume they kind of have an idea or they'll be able to fit it together if they really want it to work that bad. And that's kind of an opposite of Dwight didn't want to do what was best, but obviously, anyway, I think you see where I'm going with that one. And the third one was with Melo. If they do buy him out, then by all means, come on down to Houston. But if you have to trade anything for him, I think you could go out and get much better. Because if you're just adding him to the rotation, I think it's a great fit. Just because when you look at him playing in the Olympics and with the other stars, he kind of just plays off-ball, spot-up shooter, kind of fill up into the shot clock, but when he plays on his own team, we obviously all see how that goes.
Good take, Ben. Thanks for sharing it. Appreciate you listening. Barry?
He was talking Melo?
I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, towards the end, being on the all. I mean, you can't knock what he did with Team USA. You know what I mean? He's right. He played a role. It's a little different, though, playing for country and when you know there's, you know, 12 superstars on the team with you, as opposed to coming to a team where there's one or two guys and you feel like you got to get your thing, you know, get your minutes, get your bucket, because you're not talking about contracts and money and worth when you're playing Team USA. So I think it's a little bit different. But it was good to see he was capable of it. I just don't know if I would trust him to do that on an NBA team.
All right, so we can continue to talk the trade. Kevin McHale hopefully will join us here in the next segment. We've got another special treat for you later in the show as Astros outfielder and holder of the title belt at all times, Josh Reddick, scheduled to join us later today as well. So a full show slated with the best guests and the hottest topics just for you. So don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, take us anywhere. Today's the day to do it. As we are talking NBA trades, it is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5, and you can download the app. Go to ESPN975.com, download the app, and also listen live when you're at work in that regard. And then you can take us anywhere you go, and on your phone, the app will always come through for you. We are Three's Company, but we'll make room for another one in this case because we'll bring the Hall of Famer in, the friend of the show, Kevin McHale, who is, I believe, cozied up there north, don't you know, into Minnesota because it's too hot in the desert. But Coach McHale joins us. Coach, what's up?
Not much. I tell you what, the Rockets struck gold.
Did they?
Yeah.
So you and I were talking earlier today. A good first move because it was better than trying to free up money and get people to take what you're trying to unload to get him. Was it surprising to you?
Yeah, kind of, because, I mean, Chris had all the cards in this thing, Chris Paul. You know, you walk in and you say, okay, look, either you trade me to this team or that team, and Chris chose the Rockets, or I go to free agency and you get nothing. I've been in that situation as a manager of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and, boy, I'll tell you what, when the guy walks out of your door, you kind of look at each other, you know, the guy's left around there, and you go, ooh, boy, this is not going to be good. I mean, because you have no leverage. It's either, you know, you let him walk, or you get whatever you can take. So, you know, Chris really wanted to come to Houston. I think that's a huge move. It'll be interesting when you talk basketball in a little while, but from an adding a player of his stature to a team, you know, with Harden on it and with some of the shooters and some of the weapons they have, I just think he's a leader. I just think that, you know, end of games, big shot maker, just a lot of positives that go into this.
Now, Coach, do you think that there was something where there was discussions with Paul about, hey, we know you're going to use that option, and then we'll trade for you and work on getting you a long-term deal? Or do you think that's not coming up at this point?
No, that believe me, that has come up a long time ago. That was one of the first things. I mean, I'd be shocked if they don't have a long-term deal really quickly with Chris Paul. But you never, I mean, you know, it's an odd thing with these guys now with the free agency and everybody moving so much. I can't see Chris risking that much money, Chris Paul, by not signing a contract. But, I mean, you know, I don't see the one-year rental in this thing. I really don't. I just think he's going to sign with the Rockets, and I think he's going to be there. And you know, now they're going to decide on can they get another guy? Can they free up more money? I mean, there's a lot of stuff they've got to do. But this was a huge piece because it was hard to get. If Chris Paul just went to the free agent market, there's just no way that the Rockets were going to be able to shed enough money to get him to a number that they could sign him. They couldn't get a max contract. There's just no way. I mean, you can say all you want about, oh, we'll give this away for nothing. People do not give away their cap space for nothing. This was forced on the Clippers a little bit by Chris, and it was a great get by the Rockets.
So, Coach, couple things, because it becomes to, and it puts your general manager's cap on now, but also your coaching cap. So let's go coaching cap first. Is there enough ball to go around? You just moved Harden to the point. Now Chris Paul's going to be the guy that his whole career has had the ball in his hands. And is this the perfect storm that could go also become a really big problem come midseason if those two can't coexist around the ball?
Yeah, but boy, I tell you what, you got to believe right now that Chris Paul's age, he's pretty much willing to do anything to try to win. And you know, the thing that Chris looked at, I mean, you can talk about money all you want, but Chris had to look at a spot and say, this is, you know, I can win here. And so he's got to believe that in the Rockets, he knows James likes the ball. And, you know, the one thing that I don't think it's going to be an issue with Chris Paul. I think he'll pretty much do it. I think he's at the age where he'll do whatever you want to do. I think getting James back playing like a two guard, coming out doubles and screens, pin downs, and all that stuff, that's going to be a little bit more of a stretch for James. You know, he really, even when I was coaching him, when he'd get funky, boy, he wanted to stand. And you'd try to get him off picks, and he, you know, the guy'd body him up, and he wouldn't fight through it. He's going to have to play like a little bit more like a standard two guard, and give the ball to Chris quite a bit. But, you know, James is still a great pick and roll player, still mid screen, the high screen and roll. He'll run that. But I got to believe that these guys got to make it work. They're not better than Golden State, but then I'm not sure they can do anything to get better than Golden State. Golden State's, you know, got a hell of a team. But they're at least in the conversation now. Now you've got to say, boy, with Chris Paul coming in, are they better than the Spurs? Are they the second best team? Can they add a piece? Can they keep building? Can they get to the point where they can challenge Golden State?
Well, are they done? That's the other question. Because of the fact that, you know, they've made two subsequent deals, basically just to create cap flexibility. At least that's the assumption, because they're taking on guys with non-guaranteed contracts for cash, trying to buy options. They are said to still be knee-deep in conversations trying to get a trade done with Indiana. Do they have the assets for one if they're not done? And there were supposedly a lot of rumors that they were hoping that Carmelo got bought out. He would come to play with his good friend Chris Paul. Now that Phil Jackson's out of the mix, doesn't that hurt them as well?
Well, yeah, I think that whoever takes over in New York can give a more careful look at keeping Carmelo. I don't know the insides of the New York working, but it sounded like Dolan and Phil Jackson had really butted heads on just buying out Carmelo and getting rid of him. But now, you talked about earlier, one ball. Now, if you bring Carmelo in, yeah, now there's a one ball issue. I can promise you that. excuse me, I don't think that he's a great fit with those guys. Just putting together players that were really good individually is not the way that you become really a good team. You got to put pieces that fit. So I would think there's probably better fits than that. But you know, the biggest thing that the Rockets have got to do between now and when the trade does get through, I think they're buying up those contracts, those non-guaranteed contracts, to send them out to Chris Paul. Because if you add up the money, I don't think the Rockets have enough money yet to bring in. I'm not going to be able to give the Clippers enough money yet to bring in Chris Paul to make the trade work. So I think I think they're just trying to get this trade done, and then they'll go from there. I mean, I bet they make a run at Paul George. Now I don't know if that's going to work. And if they have enough assets to try to go get a guy like that, I think that from what I understand, Indiana's pretty far down the road in some conversations moving Paul George. But yeah, they have to add another piece. There's no question about it.
What do you understand, Coach? Where's he going? Is your boy Danny Ainge trying to up the ante in Boston? What's going on, Coach? Break some news here.
Yeah, well, they're trying. They're trying. I know that there's a lot of teams trying. But I just get the sense that Indiana's pretty far down the road with a couple teams. And I think they're just going to – yeah, it's hard. Maybe, you know, I look at what the Rockets have left. They really don't have any picks of consequence to give Indiana in that. So it's going to be hard to pull that off, too. And then, you know, I guess the only thing that happens is that if Paul George walks in and says, hey, look, I want to go play in Houston, get the best deal there, or I'm walking.
Kevin McHale joins us on the HRMP listener line. Coach, so the Rockets, to get CP3, they traded away Pat Beverly. There's talks that Montrezl Harrell was included in the deal. Lou Williams and Sam Decker. Who are they going to miss the most out of those?
Lou could score the ball, but I don't think that's going to be a huge issue. I liked him. But he's a tough shot maker, and sometimes, as you saw in the playoffs, those tough shots, they don't go in quite as much in playoff situations. I think Decker's got a really nice future. His shot's got to improve, but just health. Montrezl Harrell was a guy I thought was interesting. I didn't get a chance to coach him much, but he was really a high energy, you know, role. Patrick was just a tough, hard nosed guy. But in Chris Paul, they got a good defender. So they didn't give up much on the defensive end. Got much better offensive players in the past. But it's a combination of all those bodies. I mean, you are going to get thin. The good news is that there'll be a lot of veteran minimum players, veterans that'll come in and say, "Hey, I got a chance to win here." So they'll be able to take some of those pieces and bring in some veteran guys at the minimum, and be able to fill holes. But yeah, I think it's the combination of, you know, you lose four guys that were all part of your rotation. That's quite a bit.
Coach, if you had to pay $20 million a year for the next 3 years, and you had your option of either for a bowl of soup, a garden rake, or Ryan Anderson, which would you choose?
Well, I can tell you that in the league right now, it's going to be hard to have somebody pick up Ryan's $20 million. It just is. I mean, Ryan spreads the floor, does a lot of good things in D'Antoni's system. But the cap space is just the cap space has a – there's something you look at it, you think there's so many possibilities that people just don't give up their cap space and say, we'll settle for a guy who can help us, unless there's really a need out there. I don't see them being able to move Ryan Rapp. But I will say one thing. I think Anderson's going to get better shots now with Chris Paul. More open threes. Chris Paul knows how to run the pick and roll great, as does James, but I don't think they're. I think they're locked in with him. At a certain point, you got to say, "Hey, this is part of our team." I think Ryan Anderson is part of their team.
Okay. Well, we appreciate it, buddy. We know it was short notice, but take care of everything up in the Great White North, and we'll be in touch real soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
Kevin McHale on the HRNP listener line, right there, the Hall of Famer, talking trade and a whole lot more. Well, pretty much just trade. But Barry, Nick, and I will talk till 4. Josh Reddick on the horizon as well. And, of course, your calls, tweets, and comments. So please keep them coming. 713-780-3776. We're the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome to Let's Make a Deal, otherwise known as The Usual Suspects, till 4, as we continue to roll on, as we've been promoting. We did have Kevin McHale. Check the podcast if you missed that. Josh Reddick later in the show, so that should be fun.
What time is he joining us?
2:30 Central.
Cool.
Okay. So in about Kevin McHale will be up. That will be up on ESPN 97.5, the front page, the featured audio section.
Okay. And so in about an hour, Josh Reddick will join us. We'll get a little break from trade coverage.
You know what's funny is when I was putting together my prep for today's show last night and this morning, I posted a link where they talked about Harden lobbying for CP3. And I read it, and I got to admit, as I'm reading it, I'm like, yeah, I'm a bit skeptical.
You know, like the deal wasn't going to get done?
Like, Harden's probably not lobbying for CP3, but he's like, I'm okay with it. But apparently he was lobbying. Because it all went down, so
I like that Kevin McHale liked the move.
Yeah, that gives you a little bit of hope. Yeah. You know, the one thing I was curious about, and I wanted to ask Coach, but we didn't have time, obviously. But you know, I seem to recall, and Joel, you might know this, or Nick, you might, I don't know, but there seemed to be a rule somewhere where if you got a player who can get a max deal from the team he's with. Mm-hmm. If he gets traded in that last year, if he's not on the roster, I guess, at the end of the season, he can't sign that max deal anymore. And I don't know if that's still the case. And I know with this, he'll be an option. So he'll flex that option. He should be able to sign a max deal at the end of next year with the Rockets.
It's tricky. I was kind of looking at it this morning, trying to research it. I thought the minute he became the Rockets' property after opting in, that the Rockets then became the team in control of being able to give that max deal.
But I think it has to be, he has to be on their roster at the end of that season. So
see,
it wouldn't be until
sure
the end
about.
Of next year, which is why I think Kevin was talking about, well, you know, it's not really a rental. He can't see that happening. And that might be why. You know what I mean? But I mean, when you think about it, even, and there was some discussions about this morning too, but when you think about what it was, if he was going to sign long-term here versus long-term with the Clippers, when you look at just the state tax and how much money he would save, even if he didn't sign a max deal, the numbers would probably end up being pretty close. I want to say somebody said 50% tax when all was said and done, when you count federal tax and state tax from
California taxes is ridiculous.
It's like 13%.
The other thing we didn't like was when we traveled, they tried, because the state of California, and Barry, you can probably relate to this because you travel, but we would get our check and we would see all these deductions, Sacramento, Oakland, LA, and we're going, what's this? Oh, the state of California. You worked in the state of California for every day you were with the Rockets in the state of California. So therefore, even if it wasn't just the game day, say we were on an 11-game road trip and six of those games were in California, and in between you had a couple off days, every single day you were in the, even remotely in the state of California, they were docking your pay.
Yeah, you were paying state tax for those days. So you'd pay 6, 7, 8 days worth of state tax. Yeah, and that, I mean, when players do that, they'll go on the road when they go to California. Even if they're, you know, if they're a Houston Rocket, they still pay the state tax in California. But that's why it's still attractive for teams, because half of your games, half of your paychecks, if they're coming from the city of Houston and the state of Texas, they're not getting taxed that extra
13%. There's a reason why.
You're saving 13% on half your money.
So this goes for the players, too?
Yes.
So if
they're on the road,
so if you sign,
let's just use the money they're bringing in.
Just use even numbers. If you sign a $100 million contract, over the life of that contract, if you're based in the state of Texas, you're saving 13% of that $100 million.
No, I'm talking about, like, so when they go on the road for that one game, they pay more taxes just on that one paycheck?
Other states got smart, too. Not just California. Other states are starting to do it, too. And our accounting department, damn them, we're right on top of it.
I think most states do it, don't they?
All over. I think they started to,
Yeah, I think most states do it now. If you play in a state where there's a state income tax, you pay the tax for that game or that check.
But think about it. That's why when you look around Houston and you say, oh, so-and-so from that team lives here in the offseason, it's warm weather, but you're saving that state tax. So there's so many athletes across the board because their income level is so high, and because real estate property is at a great level at all times. Real estate's always in a good position here in Houston. That's why a lot of guys in all different sports live in Houston and make it their full-time home, because that tax savings is so great, as opposed to, like, no one wants to get traded to Canada. And Canada's tried to change their tax regulations a little bit, but the taxes that you face in Canada were such that in years past, you'd lose almost 50% of your salary living in Canada regardless, because of the taxes, paying the taxes in Canada. That's brutal.
Lamont said, since you haven't made your list yet, Nick, Lamont said he wants some silver spoons. Yeah, give me a break.
I'm
or facts
totally
alive.
Jacking that because I don't have my list completed.
So you're going to use those three to start off with?
Yep.
That's funny.
Facts of Life was good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, when you're looking at money, that's things that people consider. Yeah, you can get a max deal, but you have to factor in the state income tax and how much you're going to be paying over the life of that contract for just playing your home games alone. So it does matter. And they were saying something to the effect of 50% when you look at all the taxes combined. So, man, could you imagine? I mean,
people are probably listening and saying, oh, they make millions of dollars. It doesn't care. Yeah, but when you see the number, significantly drop.
Take Barry's analogy just with general numbers. $100 million contract, $13 million you're giving away. There's nobody in their right mind wants to give away $13 million.
Nobody.
Well, yeah. So it wouldn't quite be, I don't think, because you think about it.
I'm
he's going to
play. We're rounding up.
Yeah, but he's going to play some road games in Houston where he's not going to pay the state tax on that money. But for half of that, at least, you can certainly say it's $6.5 million a year that you're just not getting because of the team you play on.
If you're Scottie Pippen, you don't even want to buy Charles Barkley a dinner. You think he's going to want to give up $6.5 million of his contract?
Exactly.
Hell no.
Yeah.
No Tippin' Pippin ain't doing that deal.
Was that his nickname? Tippin' Pippin?
Oh, yeah.
When I first heard him say that, I was like cracking up.
Yeah. No, so that was the year Barkley took less and was only making $1 million a year, and Pippin was making 11. And I can't tell you how many times during the course of the year that Charles picked up dinner for Scotty, and we were like, you think Scotty's ever picking one up for you? And he goes, nah, that ain't happening. And so No Tippin' Pippin was born.
That's funny. I like that. So it's a pretty good nickname.
Yeah, I don't know if that carried on to other cities as well, but I'm sure it had some lingering effects. But We continue to roll on with the show. We got one in the books, two to go. So if you guys want to join us, you're doing a hell of a job on Twitter. We've got Way Back Wednesday, where Barry had hour number one with TV theme shows. I guess I'll take hour number two so Nick can pilfer from listeners and take hour number three. So we'll stack up Way Back Wednesday with TV theme songs. Obviously, the big news of the day is the Chris Paul trade. Also, Phil Jackson out with the Knicks. And the Astros lose, which is a rarity, last night at home to Oakland. They're back at it again tonight, and we'll have Josh Reddick in about a half hour. So stay right where you are. Keep listening and keep participating because we love you. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors. The bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams. Save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.